And we're back with What's Ailing America, where answer today is government proof of vaccine damage, quote unquote, not for publication. And we have a caller on the line. I just want to finish what I was talking about before the break in regards to these other amazing documents Christina England found from November 1997, also not for publication, Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization. And in this document, it talks about correspondence with Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Now, this blew my mind because Dr. Andrew Wakefield, of course, was met by myself at a conference about a decade ago. I think it was 2000. It may have been 2001. I was going to a lot of conferences, and that at that time, I had figured out that autism was subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. I told Wakefield what I had figured out. He just kind of looked at me and ignored me, and comes to find out that they were actually talking with him about this situation. In fact, on page 19, under the discussion, it talks about Dr. Wakefield at a conference in the U.S. had suggested that measles vaccine might cause subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. So, why didn't he tell me that when I mentioned it to him in 2000 or 2001? Why is he only talking about the guts of the children with autism that have measles virus in their lymph nodes? What's going on here? And why is he still suggesting vaccines? Just give them a single shot. As I always say, shoot them with a six shooter instead of an Uzi. How can he possibly be promoting this? Answer, he's either sold out or he's a coward. Those are the only two options. And all the people that are supporting Andrew Wakefield and sending him money for his legal defense fund and doing absolutely nothing to support my work, please take a look at this document, okay? You need to know who you're supporting. Okay, I have a few other things to talk about this, but let me bring the caller on from 336. Are you there, caller?
I'm here, Dr. Carly. It's Kim up the road. I just had a couple of questions, mainly because my daughter is expecting, and so I'm very concerned about, you know, some of the things that she might be doing. But could you give a little overview of the Rh incompatibility? I don't really understand that whole thing. You know, what? Why is it they need to have this shot if there's a negative and positive and all that? And is it really something necessary?
Well, of course they don't. And actually, I'm going to be doing a show on this coming up. You may want to get a DVD that I just obtained. It's called Monkey Blood. Because amazingly, do you know about this DVD?
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
Okay. I suggest you get it. It will blow your mind.
Okay.
And like I said, I'm going to be doing a show about this down the line. But you see, when I was in medical school and we learned about the Rh factor, we were never told what does Rh stand for. It stands for rhesus. Now, why does like 95% of the population have monkey genes in them? Where did that come from? Okay? You know, we have to think about that. You know, that's kind of a creepy concept. And as it turns out, I do not have monkey genes in me. I'm Rh negative. And when I gave birth to my son, they tried to talk me into having this, it's called Rogam shot. And allegedly, What the Rogam shot is supposed to do is protect the baby, subsequent babies, because during the first pregnancy, if the mother's Rh negative and the baby's Rh positive, the mother can actually develop antibodies against the Rh factor, and those antibodies can attack the baby. And it allegedly causes something called erythroblastosis fetalis, although I never saw a case of that, in my entire medical career. I worked at the busiest hospital in the United States. But that's what they tell you. Okay, in my opinion, it's just another way to get you to be injected with monkey genes. Because if you don't have them, they want to inject them into you. So I would say, as you know, Kim, I don't give medical advice and I don't practice medicine, but I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had her blood drawn, and she gets the results next week as to her blood type, and so I really need to get that DVD and let her see that. That's for sure.
The father's, wait a minute, the father's blood has to be drawn too. Or at least that's what they. Because if the father's
blood test.
If the father's Rh negative and the mother's Rh negative, the baby can't be Rh positive. So if they tell you the baby's Rh positive and both parents are Rh negative, then I smell a rat. Because you can't believe these monsters. They can tell you whatever they want.
Yeah, it's so hard to convince people of this. You know, they think, I won't be able to get pregnant, or it's going to affect my pregnancies in the future and all that. And
mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Okay, well, that helps. So I can just order that right online, monkey blood.
Right. Mm-hmm. Has she at least checked into the vaccine issue?
Well, I have talked and talked and talked to her. She doesn't really give me a straight answer. So, I don't know what that means at this point. I know she has a lot of people surrounding her that, you have to get vaccinated, but she knows how she was raised. She was not vaccinated, and what she will do. But like I said, there's a lot of other family pressure there, and I, of course, don't want her to. I've told her. I said, you might as well just give your kid poison, because that's what you're doing. You know, I said, I don't care who your friends are that had their babies vaccinated. Don't do it. You know, I've sent her all kinds of things. I've sent her your site. You know, I've sent her your lecture. And, it's a tough nut to crack here, Too much medical indoctrination.
Right.
Too much.
Well, this, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, but this is what I tell people all the time. You spend weeks or months getting the baby's room ready. How about spending a weekend researching vaccines? You know, finding out the truth about vaccines. One of the most important articles, actually, is on my reversing vaccine-induced diseases site on the PEP page, Science of Vaccine Damage. And it actually talks about how 19 scientific studies done by non-pharma-funded veterinarians found that vaccines cause all internal medicine diseases in pets as well. So, what she can do, she doesn't have to tell them that she's not going to vaccinate. You know, just let them believe that she's vaccinating. Keep them all happy. Because, you see...
Well, the good thing is she's having a home birth with a midwife. And I said to her, now, what did your midwife say about... I was just curious. I said, what did she say about vaccination? And she said, well, they just say they don't have anything to do with it. And they leave that up to the mother. So, the one good thing is that she will be having the baby at home, but I just don't want her to get pressured into vaccinating. And then I also, I said, that you're basically killing your child, but sometimes it's slower than faster. And her big concern, even in your own kids, you just don't understand the attitude. It's like, well, I'm afraid I won't be able to travel, and this and that. And I'm like... Good grief. Your child's life is at stake, and you're worried about these little things.
Not to mention the fact, the Pope's getting ready to hit the fan. I mean, does she have any clue what's going on in the world? Where is she going to be?
She doesn't want to have a clue. She really doesn't. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it. That's my daughter. I love her. But she just doesn't want to hear. She just thinks, it's just focusing on the bad things. There's still some good things in the world. And I said, well, that may be so, but the fact is that you better start getting prepared, because there's an awful lot going on, and you're bringing a new life into the world, and you don't need to be you know, living in a frivolous atmosphere where you don't think anything's going to hit the fan, and then all of a sudden one day it is, and you've got a baby to feed, so you better be getting prepared here in a lot of different ways. But, you know, they just, they don't want to see it. If they don't see it, it doesn't exist, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you see it all the time. If it's not affecting people on their own personal space, it's not there. But once it is, then everybody's whining and screaming. And
right.
that's the fact of it. It's awful.
Right. I call it the ostrich syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah,
if I stick my head in the sand, yeah, of course my butt's straight up in the air and they're going to get me. But see, that's why I'm actually kind of looking forward to the monsters totally taking off their masks. Because what are these ostriches going to do?
Well, I feel the same way. I think the sooner it collapses,
all right, hold,
the better,
hold.
Because that way we have a full expose right in front of us, and then there's nothing there for anybody to say they can't see. But the sad part about
exactly.
it is there's going to be an awful lot of people with little children that they just don't know what to do, you know, and that's the horrible part. But and the
well, that's when... Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on. We're going to a break. Please hold on till after the break.
Okay.
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is government proof of vaccine damage, quote-unquote, not for publication. We have Kim on the line from North Carolina. And, Kim, a couple of things I wanted to say. First of all, that I suspect that your daughter... once the masks come off in a way that even the brain dead can't deny what's going on, I suspect your daughter will come home to her mother and say, "Mom, you were right. What should I be doing?" Okay, that's first of all. Second of all, you had called in, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and given a testimonial about your husband, who was on my protocol, who had 25 skin cancers. And when you called in, 23 of them are gone. He had two that were, you know, still healing. But certainly your daughter must know about her dad, that he's had this amazing result from my protocol. Didn't that give me any weight in terms of her listening to my information?
Oh, it does. I mean, she looked at, when she came to visit, she just left Friday. And, she, you know, she looked at him because she had seen him when he was curodermy. And she's like, "Ew, you look like a mess," you know. And he said, "Look at me now." And she's like, "All right," you know. And she said, "Great." And I said, "See, Bryn, you can do things through homeopathy. You don't have to go the medical route, because all that is a bunch of Band-Aids. And you know that. Because she's an emergency room nurse. And she does. She sees it. I think she really is waking up to that fact, because she's actually talking about possibly getting out of nursing in the next year or two and maybe going into midwifery or something like that. So, you know, I can tell that she really sees that all these useless things that they do for people, and they just don't get any better. And I know she has a conscience, and it really does bother her. So
Or at some point she might even decide to become one of my students and learn how to do what I do. But I definitely suggest that you send her a link to that Vac Truth article, because that's very powerful, that these psychos within the agencies in the UK have known for 30 years that the measles causes SSPE, which is autism. I mean, that should shake her up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to send her that article that you sent out, and hope that she'll read it, because that's really great. I'm so glad that it's finally coming out. I'm just so sorry that it's taken so long. And I'm so sorry that people don't stop and ask more questions. That always amazes me. Somebody's sick, someone's being treated, supposedly, and you ask them a question, and they just don't have a clue as to what's going on, because they trust their doctor so much that they don't even want to know what they're taking, why they're taking it, what it's going to do, and what other problems it's going to cause. And I'm just amazed that there's just no drive anymore inside the human to do this. It really seems to be the majority of the people. Very few really stop and say, "Now, you know, why? Why are you telling me to take this? And if it's not going to cure the problem, then why am I taking it? But
it's been programmed out of people. Okay, we know why. They've been fluoridated, aspartame, vaccine damaged. You know, we know why we have a bunch of slave work units just, you know, walking around following orders. They don't want to go to the extra hassle. You know, they want to eat all of the garbage out of the grocery stores. They want to, you know, basically, you know, ingest poison because they make it taste good. You know, it takes a little more effort to read labels and to buy organic and things of that nature. But before I forget, I just wanted to bring up another excellent book that I recently added to my library, which one of my loyal listeners by the name of Reagan had told me about. And I strongly suggest you get this book for your daughter. It's entitled Unvaccinated, Homeschooled, and TV Free. It's not just for fanatics and zealots. And the author is Julie Cook. Have you ever heard of that book?
I have heard of it, yes.
Yeah.
See, she was all
it's
those,
excellent.
She was
okay,
all
and the
things.
Website is No Regrets. Unvaccinated, Homeschooled, and TV Free by Julie Cook. And the website is No Regrets. Plural, noregretspublishing.com.
Okay, publishing.com. All right, I wrote that down.
Right.
And she was pretty much all those things. I mean, the TV was there, but we monitored that, you know, and we didn't have any video games or any of that type of thing. But it's amazing, you know, when they go to college, and that was the bad thing. I mean, she knew all the right things, but when you go to college, you get severely indoctrinated, and then she went to the Johns Hopkins Accelerated Nursing Program, and that's an extreme indoctrination center there. So, you know, it's really difficult because, you know, she just doesn't want to see that natural is always the answer, that there could be other answers, but there isn't. It just isn't.
Well, and I can understand that. Let me just say, I can understand that because when I first started seeing experimentation on poor people, research fraud, and euthanasia in the early 90s when I was working in the hospital, I didn't want to believe it either. But, you know, when you see it with your own two eyes. Now, in the emergency room, that's probably the one place where they do some good work. You know, if you have a car accident or if you're shot or something like that, I mean, the emergency rooms in this country, you know, that's a place, you know, to go because they do know what they're doing, but you got to get out of there as fast as possible. But to face, first of all, that you spent all that money on schooling and you were lied to about everything, that's hard. Secondly, if you're intelligent, which obviously she is, it's hard to admit that you bought into the lie. You know, you ask yourself, how could I have not seen it? I mean, it's totally insane. So there's a lot of reasons why people have trouble opening their eyes.
There must be. It's a terrible thing. I sometimes it just boggles my mind because it seems like the more educated the people are, the more minds are shut. You know, and young
exactly.
people, they really revere people.
As designed, and that's why. That's why, you know, if any young person ever contacts me, and especially if they're thinking about going to nursing or medical school, I always tell them, why are you going to waste your time and money? First of all, school loans are the one thing that the traitors in the district or criminals have made it where even if you go bankrupt, these leeches can follow you around for the rest of your life. You will never get out of your school loans. How many people have, you know, mountains of school loan debt and they don't have jobs? And not to mention the fact that you can find something you like to do, anything. Find something you like to do because then you'll enjoy your work. And do that and find a way to make money doing it. That's what people have to start doing. You know, forget the government jobs.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, so many people, and I talk to a lot of the people her age, she's 27, and I don't like what I do, but I need the paycheck. And it's like, you're just selling out for the paycheck. You need to live small. I guess they all feel like they need the $300,000 home and the payment that comes with it. And that's what they do. I mean, they want the nice home at 25, and they want the husband, and they want the children, and, you know, it's the daycare center, and then it's the paycheck. And I said, but you're sacrificing the life of your child for all of these other things. And you need to sit down and ask yourself why. I mean, nobody ever went on their deathbed and said, you know, I really wish I had worked more and made more money. I've not heard that
right.
yet.
right. Well, and you were an outstanding example for your daughter. I mean, see, you have the right to say what you say because you did what you say. And she's a result of that. She benefited from that. Why would she not want to do the same?
It's frustrating to me, though, because as the person that really did uphold those principles, I seem to be the person that gets ignored the most, you know. And, it's amazing. The family up there is having a baby shower. I'm not even invited.
What?
You know, it's just when you're different and you have a different opinion, that people don't want you around. I mean, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to be around you, and they don't feel comfortable at all. But, you know, I don't care.
Well, tell me about it. There's a group here in North Carolina. It's a homeopathy group. And when I first moved here 5 years ago, I was so excited to find them. And I started going to this group. And they talk about classical homeopathy, which is pretty much different from what I do. But, you know, there are some classical homeopathy remedies that are very helpful. And basically, I was looking for like-minded people. Well, one day, the leader of the group asked me to give a talk. And, of course, you know, I can't zip my lip. The truth comes pouring out of me. And after the talk was over, the leader of the group told me that a number of the women, they were scared. I scared them. And, you know, she said, you know, they're really not ready to hear this stuff. So I stopped going because I will not waste my time with people who are too scared to know the truth. It's ridiculous.
You have to. I mean, I have to do that with family. I have to say what I know, and I'm not going to sit there and have bite marks on my tongue while they say what they don't know. And that's just the way that it has to be. I mean, if you know something and it's going to help people, you have to be truthful and you have to speak up. And to sit there silently just because you want to be in the group's approval, I can't do that. That's just not in my character. But it is hard when your own child, you know, wants to sort of kind of put you to the curb there just to get the approval of either school or... And at that age, too, they revere everybody that's got PhDs and, you know, their masters and their doctors. Uh-huh. But yet no one's getting better. No one's getting cured. Things are getting worse. I said, you know, look around, Bryn. If things are so wonderful and all these remedies are so great, why is everybody dying at a faster and faster rate? Why are they getting sicker? I said, you do patient histories. I said, everybody that comes in there is practically on an antidepressant. And she said, well, you're right about that. She said about 75% of the people are on SSRIs when they come in the door, you know.
And let me just say, that's why I'm so dangerous to the medical mafia, because I did go through their indoctrination program. I am a medical doctor. I have my medical degree. You know, them taking away my license has nothing to do with me being an MD. And the fact, people have to ask themselves, why did I give it all up? All the money I was making as a surgeon and emergency room attending, why did I give all that up to put a target on my back to talk about what I talk about? There's only one answer, because it's truth, and because I want people to get well. That's why I became a doctor.
Yep. Yes, you are very dangerous and very driven and so needed, and this is why people are attracted to your message. The very first time I heard you, I don't even remember, I think you were on someone else's show, it's like 4 years ago, and the first time I heard your voice, and you talked about, you know, vaccines are the weapons of mass destruction. Boom, something inside me went, yes, I know this. And right. That was it. That's all I had to hear, and I wanted to hear more. And this is why people are listening, because they know they're not getting this message. They're getting a lot of messages, but they're very, you know, they're just very benign. But see, your message is so malignant with the truth, and that's why
right.
people come against it so hard, because it puts the mirror right in front of their face and makes them see the rags that they are. And that's why they hate you, because it makes them see what they are not and what they can never be.
Right. Yeah, I don't do pablum.
I'm thankful for people like you. I really am. I'm thankful that there's a very few, and there will never be a lot of people like you. There'll only be a few, because people are too concerned about what they're going to, how they're going to be looked at, and how many friends they're going to have, and what they're going to be invited to. But, you know, people like you, they tend to live in isolation sometimes, just because they're not included, because you're the extreme. You're on the deep end, according to them, but isn't that what life is about? Knowing the truth and running
right.
with it and not sitting
right.
there, you know, wallowing in your untruth.
Right. Yeah, I don't do pablum, and I'm too strong for some people, but of course, the truth is ugly. It must be spoken, and in terms of my paper, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, which I wrote years ago. I update it every couple years. I don't think I've updated it since 2008, because now I have so much I have to do a book. But when I wrote that paper, that was before I knew the definition of weapons of mass destruction. So thanks to Ralph Winterod, who actually got that information for me, I asked him to look that up. And when I got it, I was like, wow. I mean, was I on point or what? And then now, thanks to Christina England, finding these documents, because I've been talking about, you know, autism having its name changed for 15 years, and now she goes and finds the proof that that's true. So I continue to be proven right, and I don't want to be right. I want people to know I don't want to be right. Please, somebody prove me wrong. Prove that all these agencies aren't out to kill us. I would love to be proven wrong. Unfortunately, nobody can do it because I've done my homework.
That's right. And two, everything is unraveling at such a fast pace. I mean, not just the medical field, but the financial and scientific and the educational field. It's all just unraveling, and people are starting to see that this whole system, which really just equals cesspool that they've been in, It's a huge lie, and people are starting to come around to a different way of thinking. And
right.
I'm
and what
I mean, it's a shame it ever went that far.
Right. And what I like to tell people is the good news is, once we realize all this death and destruction and financial devastation, etc., is being done on purpose, then all we have to do is quarantine the psychopaths causing it and unleash the people that know what to do. I mean, you know, there's technology to reverse disease, to clean up the oceans, to get rid of the chemtrails. I mean, there's already technology to fix everything they've destroyed. So that's the good news. Right. And that's why it's very important we have to get rid of the cause.
You know it. That's for sure.
Okay.
But I thank you so much for doing what you do, and Mike is doing great, and he's a quiet person, but he's actually starting to tell people about his experience, and you know, that's the ultimate compliment and the ultimate truth, is when somebody that you're helping to heal themselves is curing themselves with those natural methods, and they're telling other people about it.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, actually,
I'm so thankful.
Well, tell him thank you. That's how I get most of my referrals, actually, is from other people. And I want to thank you for calling in so much, Kim. There's a couple other things I want to mention in case people hear my critters causing a little ruckus here. We're starting a major thunderstorm here. I guess they turned the harp machine on. But that's okay. As long as I stay on the air, that's all that matters, so I'll keep going. But thank you so much for calling in, Kim, and keep in touch.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll be listening. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, folks, I love it when clients call in, and unfortunately many are afraid to do so, but not Kim. So thank you so much, Kim. Okay, I want to get to something else that's on this VacTruth.com website in regards to the Christina England story. If you go down to the comments, and this is a very important teaching moment, there is a minion by the name of Lowell Hubbs, H-U-B-B-S. And I want you to check this out because this shows you how the minions work. Now, first of all, the first thing I notice is he's got the baby with the needles picture. For some reason, this is all over the internet. I paid to have this image created many years ago, so it kind of pisses me off that so many people are using this. And, of course, no, you know, reference to my website or where they got it from or whatever. But second of all, if you click on his name, it brings you to his Facebook page. And two of the inspiring people he has listed are Bill Gates and Paul Offit. Paul Offit is the major vaccine-promoting minion in the United States. So here we have a guy who has two major vaccine promoters as inspirational people in his life. Okay, so Christina's article, the whole thing centers on the fact that these 30-year-old documents prove that they were talking about SSPE caused by measles virus in the measles vaccine. And what does he do? He makes absolutely no mention of that fact. He goes on to tell people, and it's actually quite a long page and a half, actually, that he wrote. Make that 2.5 pages that he wrote when I printed it out. He's telling people to go check out the COGforLife.org page in regards to the vaccines being made out of aborted fetuses. Well, of course, this is straight from hell. This is a spiritual assault. I've talked about it many times. The MMR vaccine is made up of aborted fetal tissue. Why are you bringing this up, Mr. Hubbs? This has nothing to do with subacute sclerosing panencephalitis due to measles. Okay? Every part of the vaccine is bad. Every single piece of the witch's brew causes damage in a different way. Why are you bringing up aborted fetuses? Then he goes up to bring up autism-associated genes in the X chromosome contain multiple regions where potential insertion of blah, blah, blah can occur. Okay, fine. Yes, I've talked about DNA damage due to vaccines. As a matter of fact, one of the references of my paper, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, is about a Scientific American article from 1999 entitled DNA Vaccines. And they have excellent diagrams in there where they actually show you how the DNA in the vaccines inserts itself into our very genetic structure. Now, the reason they're talking about it is they're trying to make people believe that they can fix the genetic defects. Well, the genetic defects were caused by the vaccines in the first place. And if you read between the lines, this is what you see. But once again, Mr. Hubbs, why are you bringing up genetic problems? Has nothing to do with measles virus causing SSPE. Then he mentions, and I love this statement, the CDC would have us believe that vaccines go through a step process of purification. How do you purify germs, Mr. Hubbs? This is similar to Jenny McCarthy's ridiculous motto, green our vaccine. How do you green a germ? How do you take a bottle of germs and purify it? You know, that's like, it does not compute, okay? Not to mention the fact, if there are other organisms within the vaccines, people should look upon that as a free vaccine. If you got a few staph or strep or whatever, you know, in your measles vaccine, well then, if vaccination works, you should be made immune to staph and strep. You see? I mean, I got answers for all these minions. Then he goes on to talk about phages in live viruses. Are they harmful to people? Once again, what does that have to do with measles, autism, and subacute sclerosing panencephalitis? Okay, there's that music. I will continue after the break for the last segment. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. And we're back for the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been government proof of vaccine damage, quote unquote, not for publication. And I'm continuing with the comments of Minion Lowell Hubs, which are posted below the article by Christina England, a very important article that I hope you'll all check out and send to everybody you know. And this is a perfect example for you to learn how these trolls work. You have to realize that who knows how many millions of dollars and how many thousands of people are paid to troll different, especially anti-vaccination sites, to put in disinformation. And there's no question in my mind that this Lowell Hubs is one of those people, made even more obvious when he admires and is inspired by Bill Gates and Paul Offit. But I want to get to the next comment he writes. This is the top of the third page of his comments. He talks about another problem with quote-unquote vaccine contamination. Now, I already mentioned how insane this concept is of contamination with vaccines. But he brings up deadly mycoplasma in vaccines. Now, mycoplasma are bad. This is actually what causes the Gulf War plague. The part of the Gulf War syndrome that's contagious is mycoplasma, and there's no question they were putting that in anthrax vaccines for the soldiers. Because, of course, the injection of the germs is always bad. As I said, if it wasn't bad, you'd end up getting a free vaccine. But, in fact, they did put mycoplasma in the vaccines of the Gulf War soldiers. This is what caused the contagious part of the Gulf War syndrome, which I call the Gulf War plague. There's many other aspects to it, depleted uranium, pyridostigmine, aspartame in drinks. They're killing the soldiers. They don't want them to come home and tell their families. Oh, guess what? My job was in Afghanistan. I was guarding the poppies. Guess how many innocent women and children that I slaughtered at the orders of the psychopaths that were in charge of my command, et cetera, et cetera. They want to kill the soldiers off. But even more ridiculous than him bringing up mycoplasma as a contamination of vaccines is he brings up this minion, Garth Nicholson. Garth Nicholson was involved in the Special Virus Cancer Program. Started back at the time of Nixon at Fort Detrick, Maryland. I have thousands of pages of this program. I think I have seven different years. Each one is like hundreds and hundreds of pages, where they talk about the different projects that they're doing to make viruses to cause cancer. Garth Nicholson was part of this program. He was at MD Anderson, one of the major hubs for this type of research. So he's bringing up Garth Nicholson as like a good guy and, you know, wanting people to check out his work. So just do yourself a favor and see how he got people to look over there. Don't think about what Christina wrote. Look over there. Think about what I'm writing. All these other issues, which may have some truth to them, but it's beyond the whole point of the article of which she wrote. And then, like I said, especially when he brings up Minion Garth Nicholson. Okay. And let me just see what else we have here. Okay. As I mentioned, one of the articles that Christina found also talks about Andrew Wakefield being in a U.S. meeting and saying at the time that the single vaccine might cause subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. So what on the earth is he doing telling people it's okay to vaccinate, just don't give, you know, the triple jab, divide them up? And then this is another thing that Lowell Hubs does later in the comment section. As Christina is mentioning that Andrew Wakefield was at the meeting and discussed the single vaccine causing subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, Lowell Hub does his look over there thing again. He brings up the fact, he says, for anyone with any doubts yet as to the suppression of vaccine truth info and the typical sabotage of people like Dr. Andrew Wakefield as well, I suggest reading the account of exactly that kind of thing in the UK. So once again, there he's bringing up Andrew Wakefield, okay? And it's really amazing to me. Not a single person mentioned my work other than Christina. But I just thought it was hilarious how this low hub is telling people, check over there, check over there. And then he brings up autism expert Lisa Blakemore Brown, who was a very important person in Christina's life, who actually put together the fact that vaccines were causing autism and then parents were being charged with Munchausen's for bringing it up. And of course, this Lisa Blakemore Brown was persecuted and tormented as well for trying to do the right thing. So he brings up an article about the professional assassination of autism expert Lisa Blakemore Brown, which Christina England wrote in 2010. And then, of course, that made Christina actually thank him for writing that, which makes people think that she's actually, agreeing with what he's saying when everything else he said was basically distraction and proving he's a minion. So just be aware. You know, I've got my PhD in minionology for many years of moles infiltrating my life. And so I have learned how to recognize the tactics of these minions who are being paid to distract us and to stop us from going after the target. Okay, we're almost out of time, but the last thing I want to mention is another extremely important article written by John Rappaport. Go to nomorefakenews.com, nomorefakenews.com, August 28, 2012. Dirty Tricks Alert. Bill Gates will smear and slime anti-vaccine advocates. So here we go. Let's see. Bill Gates started an anti-vaccine surveillance and alert system through his grant award machine. They're establishing an internet-based global monitoring and rapid alert system for finding, analyzing, and counteracting communication campaigns containing misinformation regarding vaccines to support global immunization efforts. Well, you better, look at your own information there, Bill, because you're the one with the misinformation. And, of course, this critical information that Christina found proves that, you know, this is not misinformation. They know what they're doing. They're intentionally killing you and making you sick. And so this is how it works. And so I'm waiting to see whatever they're going to do to me next. But Jim Rappaport does an excellent explanation of how these organizations work. They'll say, the writer has no medical credentials. Well, they can't say that about me. This writer is spreading dangerous information that will harm children. Well, it's the vaccines that are harming the children, so I'm sorry, that's not going to work. This filmmaker tells lies about the most important medical technology the world has ever seen. Yeah, that's true. It is the most important medical technology the world has ever seen. If your intention is to kill people and cause disease. and then lastly, he says the evidence for vaccination is overwhelming and the writer is operating out of the dark ages. No, the evidence for vaccine damage is overwhelming and this practice should go back to the dark ages. That's how I would respond. And this is one that could apply to me. This writer was once an MD, but it's been said he gave up his practice after several patients made complaints to the medical board. No, they can't say that about me. I've never had a complaint from any of my patients to the medical board. It's just my delusion of conspiracy from a public access TV show. But that's one of their excuses he says they'll use. Now he spends all his time attacking vaccines. He's a criminal menace. Imagine that. Telling the truth about vaccines makes you a criminal menace. Okay. and of course, Paul, he's got a link here too. Paul Offit, one of the inspirational people to Lowell Hubs, is actually seeking an end to religious and philosophical vaccine exemptions. Huh, Mr. Hubs, how come he's one of your inspirational people? You know, I can't believe he even put a link to his Facebook page when he's got that crap on there. But I saved the page just in case he changes it. Because I am going to put a comment, you know, in that section under Christina's article once my, once the archive of the show's been posted so that people can access the show and listen to what I have to say about this. And anybody listening, if you go to Lowell Hub's page, Facebook page, and it no longer says that two of his inspirational people are Bill Gates and Paul Offit, just email me at drcarly@gmail.com and I'll send you the page. Because, as I said, I did save it. You know, being psychic as I am, you know, thinking perhaps something might happen to it once he finds out that I've just outed him. Okay. And then lastly, you know, we run out of time so fast. There's an article out of India. It's been confirmed, and actually this is on Dr. Mercola's site. India's polio eradication campaign in 2011 caused 47,500 cases of vaccine-induced polio paralysis. Can't make stuff up, folks. Okay, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, on These Changing Times, my guest will be Deanna Spingola. Be back next week. Peace to all others. Bye-bye.
At Orion News Talk, we know times are bad. Ever since 9/11, a battle has been waging against we the people. Our Constitution is under attack. A clandestine